Welcome to the message podcast of Werribee Baptist Church, a vibrant church located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
Good morning, church. My name's Stan, and we've been working here on our relationships the last few weeks so that they don't become relation slips, right? And if you've been with us, you know we've talked about communication, and you've all got that down pat now, right? You're great communicators in your relationships, and they're not slipping because of communication. And then we talked about expectations and managing our expectations in our relationships, and that goes a long way to actually giving people grace, filling the gap with grace when our experience is different than our expectations. Then last week, Pastor Inikay talked about being vulnerable. So if you've missed any of those are great messages. You need to go to our website, go to our YouTube channel, and even if you didn't miss it, go and share that with somebody else that needs that, because that'll make your relationships better, right? All right, so over the last 30-plus years, I have lived my life by a calendar. I remember 30 years ago, it looked something like this. Anybody familiar with that? Almost nobody. Oh, you deprived people. You did not live in the daytimer era where you had a binder and you had all these sheets. And, you know, it was beautiful because you actually had an ABC thing where you would prioritize your tasks by A and B and C. And then, yeah, I don't know about you, but I would do something that wasn't on my list, wasn't on my calendar for the day or wasn't on my task list. I would do something that wasn't there. I would write it on there after I did it just so I could cross it off, right? And get that dopamine hit, right? Anybody else like that? Right? Okay. We're connecting at a very deep level here. And then of course, over the years, then the paper had to go away. And now it looks more like this, right? That's much more easy to understand, right? That's much better. I don't know. But anyway, we live with it. And over the last couple of months, I've actually had a person in the church actually start volunteering to be my PA for about 8 hours a week. And they have been doing a fantastic job. She's been doing a great job trying to get me more and more organized and making my calendar actually pretty, right? Right? That was a priority for her. And I do enjoy looking at a pretty calendar now. But what she's finding out is that while I always put stuff on my calendar because I want to prioritize and I want to live by that and really make the best use of my time, she's realizing that I put lots of stuff on my calendar, but I actually don't protect my calendar. And I let it get interrupted, and I let you people actually, anyway, sorry, I've got a counselor for that, so I won't put that on you. But anyway, she's finding out that it's pretty hard to manage my calendar because I do let people interrupt that and change that. She's trying to help me fix that, and that's a really good thing. I want you to think about your own personal calendar over the last week. Think about that. If you've got it, you can look at it. That's fine. Think about your calendar over the last week. Now I want you to also think about your bank transactions over the last week. I see some smiles. I see some grimaces. Maybe a week's not enough. Think about the last month. How does it make you feel? Are you happy with what you see when you think about that calendar and you think about those bank transactions? What about the people that are closest to you? How do they feel about your calendar? How do they feel about the way you spend your time? See, what all this is about is how we spend our time and our money reveals something about us. It reveals what's important to us, our priorities, right? So when you look at your calendar and you look at your bank balances, by the way, we've only got time to cover one of these today, so we're not going to talk about money much, right, at all. So if you were thinking, oh, no, he's going to start talking about money, you can breathe a sigh of relief. That'll be for another day, right? We're going to be talking about our time. Because, see, our priorities directly impact our relationships. And when we are juggling everything on a tightrope, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm in a circus and I'm the tightrope walker and the juggler and, of course, the clown all at the same time. And when we're doing that, inevitably something's going to slip. And then we end up with the relation slips. So what do we do with all that? How do we get our busy lives, our crazy calendar lives, in a direction that actually reflects what we want our priorities to look like? What does a balanced life look like? You know, there's not a one-size-fits-all solution, so don't worry about that. I'm not going to be telling you, here's three steps to getting your calendar all sorted today, because it's going to look different for every one of us. But I want us to investigate some broad principles together that will help us maybe set better priorities in our lives. But before we unpack that, there's three guiding principles that if you've been around for a little while, you would have heard me say these things at some different level. And I just want to restate those because they're so important. And if you don't get anything else out of the rest of the message, maybe you'll get this on the front end, okay? First of all, it may be less about your to-do list and more about your to-don't list. Okay, there may be some things you need to put on your to-don't list and start crossing them off. Then secondly, you may need to learn a powerful two-letter word called no, right? And then finally, inevitably, you're going to disappoint people in life. So you will need to spread that disappointment around some, okay? Those are some principles that if you apply those, if you don't listen to anything else, we haven't even got to the Bible part yet. Those will transform how you set your priorities and how you live your life. But let's get to the God part. The Apostle Paul, he was writing a letter to a church in Ephesus. The city at Ephesus was a commerce center, and it was a flourishing city. It was also a center for paganism. The temple to the goddess Diana was there, and they had industries around making idols and things like that. And we might say they had some pretty messed up priorities. And the Apostle Paul is writing to them to address some of that, and he, in chapter 5, really goes deep on relationships and talks about their relationships with each other. So that's where we're going to pick up the topic today. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, it says, "So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise." Okay, if we just do that, we're in good shape, right? But what does it actually mean to do that? How are we going to be careful about how we live? First of all, we're going to be wise as we prioritize. That's what we're looking at here. We need to be careful. The word careful means to be able to see. It means to be watchful. Means not blind to the consequences of what's going to happen. And then it says, be careful, so be watchful about how you live. Literally, that means how you walk, how you behave. Now, we've all been walking through our house or walking through a store or wherever. We've all been walking, and you see something, and you're careful because you don't want to step on it. Legos in the floor, right? For those of you with kids. Aren't they fun? Yeah, the sharp edges and everything. And we want to be careful how we step, the direction that we go. But you know, there's a principle here. If your life and your relationships are not where they're at by accident, they are there because of the way you have chosen to set priorities, and the way you have chosen to live. Now, I do understand that sometimes there are outside influences, and other people can affect how we do things, but largely, we are where we are in life, we are where we are in relationship because of decisions that we have made. See, your relationships are in the state they are in because of the decisions you've made. And here's the principle that you need to take home for that. Direction, not intention, determines your destination. Okay, direction, not intention, determines destination. It works kind of like this. If I want to go to the Gold Coast, it's the middle of winter in Melbourne, and I want to go to the Gold Coast, so I'm going to get my car serviced, right? And it's going to be all set and ready to go. I'm going to pack it really nicely and tightly so I get the most out of it. All I need is a swimsuit, right, and some flip-flops. So but anyway, I'm going to pack it all right and everything, and I'm going to actually even pray about the trip and say, God, give me safety as I travel and help me to relax, help me to stop thinking about work, help me to have a great break. Then I'm going to get in the car and I'm going to start driving west. And I'm going to keep driving west for 8 hours. Where am I going to be? I'm going to be in Adelaide, right? And then I'm going to spend the night in Adelaide because clearly I'm on my way to the Gold Coast. And then I'm going to get up in the morning and I'm going to keep driving west. And I'm not going to stop again till I can't go anymore. So I'm going to drive for the next 24 hours. And where am I going to be? Broome. I was thinking Perth, but I planned my trip. I prayed about my trip. I got the car all ready and I packed it right and everything. What happened? Direction, not intention, determines your destination. I'm not in the Gold Coast because I went west when I needed to go north, right? Right? My brother down there from the Gold Coast area, yeah. He's wondering, why in the world did I head south? Direction, not intention, determines your destination, Charlie. Yeah. See, our priorities set our pathways. That's a principle in life. Your priorities create pathways, and that sets your direction. See, people talk to people, and they look at their life and say, I have no idea how my life got here. Anybody say that? Don't raise your hands, right? Actually, I think we really do know how it got there if we stop and think about it. Because our life got to where it is because of the choices we made and the way we lived it, right? More times than not, your life got where you are because of the choices that you made. So we need to be careful about that. He tells us in chapter 5, verse 15, Ephesians, don't live like fools. Now, I love going to the Greek to unpack this. You know what it means to don't live like fools? It literally means, okay, hang on, don't be stupid, right? It literally means don't be stupid. It means don't ignore the consequences. Now, by the way, if you're under 27 years old and you're male, you can't relate to this, okay? Because the front part of your brain that recognizes consequences doesn't fully develop until you're about 28 or 29. Right? You're laughing, but it's actually scientifically true. So if you're under that, if you're seriously, public service announcement, if you're male and you're 27 years old, please listen to other people, right? Because you can't process this yet. Your priorities create your pathways, and we need to live wisely. A wise person in a biblical sense, that means God-centric. What would a wise person, a godly person do? In our quiet times, we've been going through the book of Proverbs, and I don't know about you, but I'm loving the wisdom, but I'm also most days going, ouch, 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 ouch. Am I living a wise life most days? Proverbs chapter 12, we're going to continue in Proverbs in the month of November. You can come to this verse. It says, fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. Who thinks their own way is right? I'm taking a survey. Right, there's a few of you. Right. You know what it says about us? My hand's up. I usually think my way is right. What's it say about me? It says I'm a fool, right? Wow, that hurts. Look at this one. Proverbs chapter 14, it says, the wise are cautious and avoid danger. Fools plunge ahead with reckless confidence. Are you a cautious person that moves slow and deliberately? Or are you one of those people who moves quickly and makes decisions quickly and just acts? I want to do something, even if it's wrong, right? I'm not going to sit around waiting and being cautious. It says the wise person is cautious. You know, I love this quote by Andy Stanley. He's a pastor of a church in Atlanta, Georgia. He says this, in light of my past experience, in light of my current circumstances, in light of my future hopes and dreams, if I was wise, what would I do? In light of everything I've learned, past experience, in light of where I'm at right now in life, and in light of where I want to be, if I'm wise, then what choice will I make? What will I do? The next verse in Ephesians 5 says we got to be wise, not fools. Then it says make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. That tells us that while we're being wise in setting our priorities, we also need to treat time as a treasure. Your time is the greatest commodity you have. You can make money and jobs and things like that. You cannot create time. There is a limited amount of time available to you. We all have the same amount of time, but it is limited. It says, make the most of every opportunity. That phrase, make the most of, means to redeem or buy back. The word opportunity there means seasons. Make the most of the season you're in. Live in that season. We did a whole series talking about seasons. See, there's different seasons for different priorities. If you're a parent who has small kids right now, your priorities are different than mine, okay? Because you're in a different season. And I actually wish I had known what my priorities needed to be when my kids were smaller. We have different priorities, different seasons of life. When our kids are small versus empty nest, when you're single versus if you have a family, your priorities are going to shift and your time needs to be invested differently. It says in these evil days, that's the character of the time we live in. And when the Apostle Paul wrote this, the days were evil and the city of Ephesus was a city marked by paganism. The days haven't gotten better. The world hasn't gotten better since then in a lot of ways as far as the moral compass of the world and things. So we can certainly apply that during these evil days, during this season, we need to know how we're going to live. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 says this, live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Again, same principle, but Paul's emphasizing here, you're doing this in front of unbelievers. Our testimony to the world out there, they need to look at Christians and say, wow, they live wisely. They're making the most of every opportunity. They're treating their time like a treasure and they're being wise in their priorities. That is a great testimony to them. Even if they don't love Jesus yet, they'd say, hey, they're actually doing some wise things and they're making good use of their time. Maybe there's something there that I might be interested in. When we think about our time and treating it like a treasure, we need to understand some principles here. You know, there is very little value in the one-off investments of times. I call these things the grand gestures to make up for, right? So if you missed, you know, 6 months of having dinner with the family and things like that. And then we're going to go on a trip for a week and, you know, a cruise or something like that. That grand gesture doesn't make up for the 6 months of lack. But small investments over time add up. There's a cumulative value to that. The dinners all the time, regular dinners and things like that. And now, the other way around, if you're like me and at times you've actually messed it up, you know, there is no immediate consequences for one-off neglect, for one-off missing a big event that you should have been at. There might be a small consequence in the immediate, but long-term there's not. But neglect is cumulative. If you continually neglect your relationships, then that's going to accumulate and be too big a barrier to overcome. There's also no cumulative value in the urgent things that we've allowed to come in and interrupt the important things in our lives. There's no cumulative value to that. There's no big payoff for that. We stopped the urgent, that crisis, but at the end of the day, the important things were let slip, and a lot of those are relation slips. So if all that's true, what's the wise thing to do with your time? I would suggest to you being consistent. Just showing up, being consistent. We talk about, well, quantity time versus quality time. Why choose? Quantity can be quality in itself. I've put it like this. Relationships are built on small, consistent deposits of time. You can't cram for what's most important. You want to connect with your kids. If you want to connect with your kids, you got to be available consistently, not randomly. And you could change out the kids there to your spouse or your friend or your auntie or your uncle or your grandpa or your grandma or whatever you want. But it's not random. It's got to be consistent, consistent deposits. You know, a lot of times we think that we can make plans for the big events, for next year. Hey, you know, this is a busy season, family, and this is crazy time for me, but next year we're going to do that big thing. Next year we're going to take that big trip. James says something about that. He was the half-brother of Jesus. He says, how do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, then it's gone. What you ought to say is if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. How often do the plans that you've made for next year get interrupted? A lot? a lot. Somebody just said 80%. A lot of times the plans we're thinking about for the future never happen. So do what you can now. That's making the best use of every opportunity in this time right now. Last part of our Ephesians passage, verse 17 says this. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Finally, we need to prioritize pursuing God's purpose. When we're looking at our priorities, we're looking at our time, this needs to be priority number one. Think before you act. It says, don't act thoughtlessly. What does God want me to do? Thoughtlessly means without consideration, without ever asking, okay, does God want me to do this? Would God be interested in me living my life like this, me making this choice? What is it that the Lord wants? Well, before we look at what he wants, we need to understand that if the Lord wants it, he should get it because he's the Lord, right? By definition, what the Lord wants, the Lord should get because he is the supreme authority. He's the owner. But you know what he wants? That word want, it's not a demand. It doesn't say what the Lord demands. It says what the Lord wants. And that word wants means an expression of pleasure towards that which is liked. Think about that. What the Lord wants is good for you. What the Lord wants is in your best interest. So when we balance our lives in a way where we're seeking God's wisdom first, everything else is going to fall in place. So what are his priorities for us? Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. So we start by seeking his kingdom. Seeking his kingdom, very simply, first and foremost, means spending time with him. We're going to spend time in his word. And again, we've got a quiet time tool to help you do that. We're going to be spending time with him in prayer, seeking him. That's what the word seek is all about. Seeking his kingdom then also means living out kingdom values in our relationships, showing love, exercising forgiveness, and those kinds of things. Seeking his kingdom first means resourcing his kingdom. That means giving. That means serving. Seeking his kingdom first, you see, it means that every decision that we make is going to go through the filter of how is this going to expand God's kingdom? How is this going to make sure that his kingdom is mine when I decide what I'm going to do in my career, when I decide what I'm going to do as a parent, when I decide what I'm going to do with my hobbies and my free time? If I'm seeking his kingdom first, if that's my filter, then what decision am I going to make? See, seeking his kingdom first isn't about just adding more tasks to our lives, but intentionally living with God's priorities in mind. So you're still processing all the other things, but you're saying, okay, in my marriage, what is God's priorities? In my parenting, what is God's priorities? In my job, what is God's priorities? In my hobbies, what are God's priorities for me? See, it's about asking in everything that we do, how can this reflect God's love, his grace, and purpose in the world? See, when we put God first at the center, we seek his kingdom first, he then says, all these other things will be added to you. Everything else will work out if you start with my kingdom. One more thing, when we talk about seeking his kingdom first and setting our priorities, we had a little interview with Mel today, highlighted our kids' men. Jesus thinks kids' men is important. He says this, let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children. Jesus valued kids, and his kingdom is made up of kids and people that have become like children. When we think about seeking his kingdom first, kids have got to be a priority. And this is a passion for us here at WBC because we understand some things about families and about kids. Did you know that for a kid to come to faith, or a person to come to faith, when they're a kid, before they're 12 years old, there is a 32% chance that if they're exposed to the gospel and learning about Jesus, they will come to faith. 32%. So one out of three kids, if we give them the gospel and we nurture that into them, we help families do that, One out of three will come to Christ. You may think, well, what about the other two? Well, hang on. One out of three come to Christ. If we wait till they're an adult, 5%. 5%. Wow. That's one out of 20 come to faith when they're an adult. We have a small window of time, friends, to invest in kids. If I told you that, hey, I've got a financial investment for you to make, and if you choose to put your money over here, you're going to make 5%. Most of you would be pretty happy about that in today's economy. But if I told you, I can guarantee you, statistics show us that over here, you're going to get 32%. Where are you going to invest your time? Right? Where are you going to invest your money? Right? Illustratively, we would do that with our money. We'd follow 32% every time. We need to be investing in our kids' men. The investment you make in helping little people grow big faith is a massive return on your investment. For those of you who were inspired by hearing about our kids' men and inspired by seeing the growth in kids and hearing that over 35 kids have trusted Christ, we're seeing kids get baptized, you can actually be a part of that. And you've already been told that this morning, but we need grandparents, we need aunties, we need uncles, we need parents to come along and do that. We need young people to come along and help in that space. Mel said in her perfect world, her dream would be to have 15 more kids workers. I believe we can do that today, right? At the end of the service, she's going to be out at a table, and you're going to be able to sign up to just start a conversation. You're not signing up to be in Kids Men next week. You sign up to start a conversation. And see if that might be a place God would have you invest, all right? Setting priorities. Our children need to be a priority. So what do we do with all of this besides that? See, balancing life is not about trying to do everything, but it's about doing the right things in the right seasons. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says there is a time for everything, and we need God's wisdom to know what to do in each season of our lives. Sometimes it's going to be more focused on family. Sometimes it's going to be ministry. Sometimes it's going to be work. But if you, like me, are tired of walking the tightrope and juggling everything and things come crashing to the ground. By the way, when we're juggling, do you know that not everything we're juggling has the same value? If I'm juggling up here and I've got tennis balls, they're going to bounce when they hit the floor. If I've got crystal balls, what's going to happen with those? If I've got a mix of those, you know which ones I want to be more careful about? The ones that are going to shatter. And dare I say, the ones that are going to shatter usually involve relationships, right? When those crash, there's a lot more damage. They don't bounce as well. It's time to reset. How we spend our time, how we spend our money reveals our priorities. So let's reset this today. Be wise as you prioritize. Realize that your priorities are creating pathways. So if you're wondering, how did I get here? Look back, okay? You set some priorities that got you here. You can adjust that today. Treat time as a treasure. They don't make any more of it. You got the same number of hours as everybody else, but you can't get more of them once you've wasted them. And then prioritize pursuing God's purposes. Balancing life. It's about investing in what lasts. And what lasts are relationships. First and foremost, a relationship with God, and then our relationship with those that he's put in place around us. Are you taking time to nurture your own faith and your relationship with him? Are you taking time to nurture your family's relationship and faith journey? Are you allowing room for God to guide you in balancing priorities? I'm going to invite you to stand. And then one more summary statement. Again, if you checked out 20 minutes ago, here's the take home for you. Knowing that priorities create pathways, I will choose to spend my time wisely pursuing God's purposes. It's that simple. That's everything I've said, and you can go back and listen to the whole message, but take this home today. Knowing that priorities create pathways, I will choose to spend my time wisely pursuing God's purposes. I trust that's your heart today, and it'll be your heart this week as you go out from here. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for wanting the best and good for us. Thank you for giving us instruction in your word and wisdom through Proverbs and teaching as Paul was trying to write to these believers in Ephesus. Lord, help us learn from them. And Lord, when we look at our life, if we're in a place that we never thought we would end up being because of decisions we've made, help us lean into your forgiveness first and foremost. And then help us set priorities that will create pathways that will lead us to the destination that you have for us. Lord, you have your preferred destination for each and every one of us, and Lord, it's beautiful. You want a better life for us than we even want for ourselves if we would just humbly submit to you and pursue your priorities. Help us to do that. And Father, help us to seek your kingdom first. Help us to hunger and thirst after righteousness so that we can pursue you with passion and see your kingdom built right here in Jesus' name. Amen.